All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, say amen. If you have it, if you had a good day, say amen. Even if you didn't feel good, if you know God brings good things out of what may have appeared like bad, say amen. All right, well with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house and the presence of God forever and ever. In the name of Jesus Christ. That thing doesn't have to be at the end of service. It's a blessing. You understand? It's not only when the service has closed that we'll share it. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. We'll just continue our prayer. Today, initially I had thought I'll go back to our school of Bible exegesis and continue from the book of Hebrews chapter 6. Or thereabout that we stopped, but we'll continue that afterwards. But today, I just felt in my spirit to share this one with us and lead us in prayer again in this light. In fact, when Apostle came earlier and he was saying something about fear and all of that, I just smiled to myself because that's what I was planning to share on today. That is to just share something about it. And then let's pray, you know, along that line. All right? You know, in the last, I think, Saturday and Sunday, and yes, Sunday also, three things happened that caused people to, you know, worry a bit again in Nigeria. Initially, we didn't worry about the Saturday one because it happened in Ghana. A plane was flying, land now. It said rain they fall. We decided, what I was trying to take off as I was landing, we decided to overrun the runway or missed somewhere, entered the main road and killed everybody inside the bus that was passing. Meanwhile, those inside the vehicle, aircraft, they were not injured. I was still contemplating about that. Next thing we knew that a flight took off from Abuja. And instead of landing peacefully in Lagos, landed violently in Lagos and killed everybody inside the flight. And some people that were not inside the flight were just at home. All right? Because the plane just plowed into a building. And then that same Sunday, was it that same Sunday or the one before that? One of those days, yeah. One guy tried to kill everybody inside the church, but he couldn't get there. He detonated his bomb somewhere outside, but there were people passing around the area. And then some said 12 people, some said 20 people, whatever it is, a number of people were killed, and quite many more were injured. And of course, that dominated the news. And then I was reading Seven Mountain Prophecy. And is it John Enlow? I'm not so sure of his name now to pronounce it. And he was talking about the mountain of the Hittites. And he talked about the mountain of the media. And I just read and he was talking about what the media, and you've heard me say before about CNN. It's called CNN Calamity News Network. And it's a spiritual thing, you understand? It's a spiritual thing. Don't think these things are innocent. Be careful when you're observing things in life. People say it's bad news that make news. Yes, that's because we decided that that's what makes news. You follow my point? Yeah, that's it. You know, there was a time I was watching an American TV station. And that was in the U.S. And I watched the local TV. After watching it once, watched their news once, I made sure I never tune back there again. Why? God in heaven, who I say with all my heart, like Paul would say, is my witness. What I'm telling is not a lie. The news, one after the other, was this evening, a car traveling at a very high speed plowed into a school and killed four children. That's their news. As they're finishing that, a serial killer just killed three people. As they're finishing that, one bomb exploded somewhere and they don't know what caused it. That is, by the time you watch that news for like 10 minutes, you'll have heard all the bad things happening in the state of Texas. I said, even CNN is not this bad. I changed the channel. I made sure I never watched it again. And, you know, like, I said, you know, don't think that human... Anyway, don't let me even go there. The point is that people say that makes news because they decided, all right? They are throwing it in your faces so that you will hear it and you will become afraid. Are you getting my point? There are more good things happening than bad things. But why do we always talk about the bad things? It is because the devil wants us to be afraid. That is why it's like that. Everything that everything you see on TV, you hear on radio, you listen to in music, and you read in a lot of books, none of them has a normal agenda. I'm a scientist by, you know, because of the work I do. I'm a pathologist, and I read medical journals and all of that. A lot of times I laugh. Most of the things written, most, are not true. When I say they're not true, the person didn't set out to lie, but he's speaking, according to Mike Murdock, anybody transferring information is transferring also his prejudice. So me talking here, say, hey, Pastor Barry, it means you are transferring your prejudice. Yes. What is my prejudice? Jesus is Lord. Amen? Yeah, that's the truth. That's a matter of fact. What's my prejudice? That God is in charge of the affairs of man. Are you getting my point? That's my prejudice. What's my prejudice? That Jesus died to liberate you from all the oppressions, all right, of the devil. So whether I say it or not is at the back of my mind. And when I'm speaking, I'm trying to transfer those things to people. And that's why the spirit of the person speaking is more important than what he's saying. All right, that's why the little girl that was possessed, where the Bible says they had an unclean spirit, a spirit of divination. He went around shouting after Paul. And you know, Paul didn't want it. The words were accurate. They were good. The words were perfect. The words were very, very good. These are servants of God who have come to show us the way of salvation. Paul says, shut up and get out of her. Because the spirit is more important than those words, all right, that the person is speaking. Now, so when I read some of those things, look, their prejudice is what they are transferring. Therefore, no matter how well researched your research is, no matter how, you know, incisive your analysis is, if your conclusion is that there must be God, nobody will publish it. In the scientific world, they won't. If you try to explain the intervention of angels in the affairs of man, and you have proof, you have data, you collected research over 50 years, the conclusion is there must be spiritual beings called angels that are executing some things different from what we understand. Nobody will publish it. Now, you say it's not a religious magazine, journal, I know. But I'm saying even though if the data favors that conclusion, it will not be published. I'm about to get beside myself now, so let me just leave the matter. But let me just drop this. You know, this Obama supports homosexual, those kind of things that became issues again. Now, this is a connection with my message for today. They have used the media. I read this long ago. I think it was a reverend father that wrote this article. I read it many years ago. He explained how the homosexuals had skimmed themselves into the media. So that if you find the proportion of homosexuals that are editors, it's much higher than the proportion that are doctors, that are every other thing. They planned it. That, look, oh boy, oh girl, we are going to go into the media. So when Obama shouted and said that he supports gay marriage, the Time Newsweek cover for that week, America's first gay president, they put stars on his head. Then when Satan starts celebrating, you will soon die. You're in trouble. It was planned. Now, I'm going somewhere. That's the power of what? Media. That's why I told that whole story. Because the guys have strategized it. So the people think, estimate their power higher than it really is because of the noise that they strategized to make. I'm going to have some here. In the same manner, when Satan wants to put fear in your heart, that's what he does. A bomb exploded in front of a church. You will not remember that there were 5,000 churches that met that day or more, counting only in the north. That is not in the south. Of course, the peace of mind with which they met is not news. That's what you will think. But the truth is that if you heard that 4,999 churches met and they clapped their hands and they praised God and normal people were healed, there was revelation and the anointing came, you know. And then they now say, however, there was one church that there was a bomb blast in front of it. It will not affect your willingness to go to church next Sunday. You just like, that is, you still be encouraged. No, I'm describing all of these things. Nothing that's innocent. When you buy a medical journal, they are talking prejudice. Most people don't even know. They are just playing the part. What I mean is that I was talking to my colleague the other day in the office. We're having some discussion, argument. He thinks a lot and he reads a lot and all of that. I pointed out to him because he was telling me that we're talking about science and God and all of that. So he was explaining the principle. I was telling him that, you know, I was trying to explain that true science is not against the knowledge of God. And he said yes. And he has read a lot. So he started quoting some people, maybe something like Albert Einstein and all of that. Einstein was, of course, is still rated to be the most intelligent man that ever lived. You understand that this is a scientific world. He was not a researcher. That's what you will understand. If you don't know about Albert Einstein, he was not into what they call it, applied physics. He was what they call a theoretical physicist. All his theories there's a word I'm looking for in English now. He would just observe. Just by observing and thinking, he would take pencil and begin to think. He thinks in mathematical, you know, formulae and all of that. And he keeps writing. And, you know, that is, he doesn't go to research whether what he's saying is correct or not. He just believes it must be correct. That is, if 2 plus 2 is equal to 4, or you understand? 4 plus 4 should be 8, and 8 plus 8 should be 16. And if you divide all of that by 4, you should come back to 4, divide that by 2. You don't have to go and count pebbles to know that. It's just simple mathematics. But he has a brain that thinks in... There's one man, Kaluza, they said they used to do what they call supersymmetry. Those guys did calculations in 9 dimensions, you know? Now, those are guys who can reason like that. So they call them theoretical physicists. They always won the Nobel Prize. Only a few times in life did an applied physicist ever win a Nobel Prize. But this is where I'm going. Albert Einstein said, I don't want to be right. I want to know if I am right. I'm not trying to prove I'm right. But you guys that do the application, go and check whether I'm right or wrong. Because he believed that there is order. The first time they said the man saw the theory, Kaluza's theory of supersymmetry, he said the theory is so beautiful, it must be true. That beauty, that truth is beautiful. That is, he believed totally that there's order to life. I'm going somewhere. So my friend was trying to explain to me that, listen, these guys believe in God, and most of them did. But listen, nobody, this is where I'm going, nobody ever refers to them as if they believed in God. When Albert Einstein made that his famous statement, God does not play dice with the universe. He meant it literally. There is a God and he does not play dice. That is, he has an order, because the way the most religious people, and again, most religious people are very ignorant, the way most of them think is as if God just wake up in the morning, just do two-three times, that's what we should do on the other side. But here they say tumbon, tumbon, and all of that. You understand my point? He finished all of that and say, hey, you, blessing upon you. Albert Einstein said that's playing dice. That there must be order. And as a scientist, his job was to try and decipher God's order. But no matter how hard you read, except you read things that are outside the mainstream, you never find these things out. They talk as if those men did not believe in God. I'm talking about the power of the media. They write, all right? When you see books, I mean, I'm into the biology field, you know, as a doctor. You see biology books, they write as if evolution is an established fact. But listen, no scientist will board a plane that was built on the principle of evolution. I don't know whether I get my point. They will not take any medicine that was developed on the principle of evolution. Because the theory is wrong, it's a joke, it does not make any sense. I'm trying, you know, I'm saying many things. I'm trying to just emphasize something here. Bear it in mind, everything has an agenda, that's what I'm saying. It has an agenda. Don't think it is innocent. I told you that a white man came all the way from Belgium, came to our hospital, gave a lecture. This man has 700 publications. If you have 40, you are a professor, at least. Let me just give you UNN standard. If that man just took 40 of his publications and presented it for assessment in UNN of today, they will make him a professor instantly. He has 700. Yet, at the end of everything, what was he trying to tell us? Be careful when you are reading publications. Most of them are engineered to make you believe something they want you to believe. That is, a publication was sponsored by Pfizer. They want to sell their drug. So if they finish that research, it does not sell that drug, they will rewrite it. The lecturer was there then. The 1.5 hours lecture, everything was just to tell the summary of his guys. He quoted one article from New England Journal, and it was a lie. And he proved to us they were lying. He quoted another one from Lancet. Lancet is like number one scientific journal in the world. He showed that it was a lie. And he said, no matter the journal you read it in, be careful. All the story I have told today is to bring out a point. Nothing is just innocent in this life. Agenda full everywhere. Are you getting my point? And what is the agenda which we are fighting today? The satanic agenda is to set the hearts of men on fire with fear. Remember when we're talking about it then? He said, take up the what? The shield of what? The shield of what? The shield of what? What do you do with it? Used to quench the fiery darts of the devil. You know what that means? A fiery dart, forget the big English. Get the modern Bible. It said the fire-tipped arrows. The way I like to illustrate it very well, go and watch the film Gladiator. At the beginning, you see it there. When they wanted to attack that city of barbarians, from a distance, they put their arrows, put stuff on the tip, soak it in tar. You know the same tar used to tar roads, set it on fire, then shoot the thing. From a great distance, you set it, place on fire without going nearby. All right? This is the point. The devil wants to set your heart on fire by shooting. Listen to this. News is arrows, all right? They are what? News. Information. You wake up one weekend, one plane overran the runway somewhere, the other one crashed somewhere, a bomb went off somewhere, and in a city, in a population of 150-something million people, that's all that happened in the weekend. I like my friend Pastor Courage. Pastor of his church in Sokoto, when Boko Haram bombing started, he declared 1 month daily prayer inside church. I said, why? He said, I want to show the devil that he can't scare us. I will go to church every day for 1 month just to make a point that we are not afraid. That's why I tell brethren, always, you see, my brethren, that is, I have a mailing group, my alumni fellowship. A lot of us here know about it. One day I was very angry with my brethren. I said, wait, is it that God is not blessing us again? The only time I get news, somebody died. The only time I get prayer request, please pray for me, somebody is sick. I said, so, okay. Amongst hundreds of us, the only thing happening about battle. I said, please, I beg. If God blesses you, let us know. Next day, mail. Praise the Lord, though. I just defended my project, my PhD. I'm not a PhD holder. Praise the Lord, though. You know, people started, I said, oh, so these things were happening. I needed to coerce them out of you. When I announced to them that I just released a second book, so we'll pay for this. I told everybody. I waited for 2 days. I didn't get any response. Not, I sent abuse joint. I said, thank you very much. I told you people that I wrote a book. Congratulations, not in a dictionary. I said, listen, because they are my people. I said, anywhere I go, I'm forbidden for nodding my head like an agama lizard. I said, but here, if you don't tell me congratulations, who will? Next day, they inundated me with praises. Oh, Pastor Banky, oh, the grace upon you. Oh, Pastor Banky, how are you doing this? We worship God on your... That is, I said, why do you fill our email addresses with bad news? Working with Satan. I said, brethren, please, when you get raised in your office, send us email. We won't beg you for money. Just send us email. Brethren, I've just been promoted. We worship God. That is, I want to know some good things are happening. Not, brethren, let us mourn with the family of those who just lost their father. Let us have brethren is enough now. And I said, I know good things are happening. If you finish a house, the dedication, send us the dedication photos. We want to see it. My 10th wedding anniversary, many of us here were there then. I took the pictures, about 7 of the photos, shrunk them to small email size, and sent to all the brethren. I don't want to hear that. I'll pray for Pastor Banky and Sister Ufoma. They're having marriage problems. And that one, they're going to call me. I don't want to hear that one. I did 10th wedding anniversary. It was nice. They sent to everybody. And that's share good news. Not brethren, pray for me. This headache has been on my head for the last 1 week. I don't know what I'm going to do. Now that you have been well for the last 6 years, send us an email. Brethren, for 6 years, I've not even realized I had a body. Just been walking normally, functioning, you know. Let's not work for Satan, no. A lot of people work for Satan. Bad news. Have you heard? In fact, one brother said, I want to put on the TV. And he just coined the TV. I don't want to hear. Thank you. Don't scare me for goodness sake. Don't set my heart on fire. Don't. The heart of men fail them. The Bible says, when they behold the things, you understand, that are occurring on the earth, that's where fear comes from. When they see all the problems, the heart of men starts failing.
That is how the devil transmits fear. Let me tell you something. Fear is not normal. What I mean by it? It's not harmless. That's what I want to say. Fear is not harmless. Fear is one of the major reasons people don't fulfill the will of God for their lives. That's why Jesus had to shout, take no thought for the morrow. What shall we eat? Listen, there are people who know what to do. But once they want, that is concerning their destiny, concerning their lives. But once they want to start, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? And wherewithal shall we be clothed? One brother said to me once, I like what you are doing. He said, that's as postgraduate then. He said, but how much money is there? I said, in fact, it was a revelation. First time I thought that to somebody. As anywhere God, the fear of money occupies in your life is the very place where God is not present. So if it's number one in your decision-making process, God is not in your decision-making process. Fear is not harmless. He said, these are the people that he cast into the lake for fire. Number one, the fearful. The fearful. Why did he say the fearful? I used to wonder. He said, he doesn't like people who are afraid. The reason is that fear does not allow them to do what they are supposed to do. And go and read the Bible. Nobody is going to say, hey, I caught that day. You were fornicating. See the picture now. Nobody likes to watch horror movie in heaven. People are afraid that last judgment day, they will put the picture of the things you did. Who wants to watch all your bad secrets? You think they have Nigerian home movie industry, you know, audience there? No. They only want pictures of righteousness. So how do they do judgment? I said, they put books down. Books were opened, and another book was opened. What are the books open? Two sets. The ones written before you were born. All the days of my life, in thy books they were written before there was yet any one of them. Then the things you did on the earth, they are recorded in another book. Then they compare them. How well do they match? That's what it means to fulfill the plan of God for your life. What does sin do? Like I said, it's a poison. I said on radio, one brother called me, said he had never heard it like that. I said, like, you want to run 100 meters. Your name is Usain Bolt. He said, you are so powerful, you are so fast. 30 minutes before, I said, why are they hungry? Find me panda yam. You chop and finish. He said, how man will just chop panda yam like that? Find two bottles of Gouda Max, join now. You knock that one down. On top of that, I said, man, you don't have a problem with muscle relaxation. Give me 20 milligrams of Valium. You swallow. Whether you are Usain Bolt or Usain Voltage, whatever you are, you will lose that race. And that's what sin does. And that's what fear does. He said in the book of Proverbs that a lazy man, this is what he does. He says, there's a lion in the street. I might be eaten. That is, his fear of the lion transmits into laziness in his system. That's what he transforms into. There's a lion in the street. Every time. Investment. You could lose money. You know, I always quote Robert Kiyosaki in this. He said, I've seen many poor people that have never lost a dime. He said, but I've never seen a rich man that has never lost money. I remember once I went to my friend's house. The guy was the house officer in my department. He had a car those days. When very few doctors did. Anyway, his father was very rich, so he went to their house. He just said, that's my house. I said, that is a house? That's not a house, my friend. Stop insulting us. This is a castle. This is a mansion. Anyway, one of those, they went to his house. So I just said, oh, that's my dad. He said, told him to his father. Okay, I greeted the man. We sat down. We're going to church, so we just stopped to pick something. And the man said, ah, laddie. He was speaking Yoruba. Did I tell you? That boy, he stole my money. 1 million naira. He just said it casually like that. And I remember. When you're earning 10,000 bucks a month, and a man's 1 million is collected, and he said it as if, who took my fish where I put for here? I never forgot that. The story I'm telling you, around 1996, 97, they just, 1 million there. And the man just said it casually. He said, don't mind that foolish boy. He collected my 1 million. God in heaven. Oh, the Lord is good. That is, a man can lose 1 million. I don't know how many of you ever heard of Poutine Pleasure Ride. Poutine. They used to, they had luxury, fat luxury buses those days moving West African coast. That was the man that owned it. So that's why he could lose 1 million naira and just be saying that somebody took his fish. That is good. A lot of people are afraid of losing. So they never do anything. That's what fear does. Fear is not, God doesn't understand the excuse of fear. The day of judgment, why didn't you do it? I said, Lord, it was risky. You go and preach now, Boko Haram behead you, wait till you go talk. You're getting more than anything. Fear is one major reason why people don't fulfill the plan, the will of God for their lives. Fear. Somebody said, follow me. Jesus said to him, he said, wait, let me go. Papa, the house. Let me first go and bury my father. Fear doesn't let us fulfill the will of God for our life. How does fear come? It comes because of what we have heard. Remember Goliath? Remember the story of Goliath? That was what happened. Goliath just came. If I was reading a book, the man said, I think it was that same book. He said, there's no record Goliath killed anybody. I never realized until writing the book. He said, did this say Goliath ever killed anybody? All he just do is, I'm going to kill all of you. If I give me one man, talk. All the Israelites went into their camps. King Saul. Everybody was afraid that this all that Goliath used against them was what? Fear. You know, even God uses it. You know, one of the ways the children of Israel got the land, the news, the gist of them used to go ahead. So people hear that the Israelites are coming this way. Everybody just pack, and disappear. Goliath used it against Israelites at the point. Can you just come, Jean? It wasn't one day, not 2 days. For a long time, they could not move. Why? Goliath had instilled into them fear. And this is the interesting part. Now, this is the next point. When the Bible says that faith, you take on the shield of faith, with which you will quench this fear, you know, fire-tipped arrows of the devil. Those arrows are words designed to instill fear. When Sennacherib besieged Judah, you know, that was the same thing he was doing. He said, what is going on? You are listening to Hezekiah saying that God will deliver you. He said, which God? Is it not the same God that he had broken? Of course, he didn't know the difference between one and the other. He had broken these high places and all of that. He said, okay, people forget which God said. Which of the gods of the people have ever been able to deliver anybody from my hands? He said, did I tell you I came here without first hearing the commandment of God? God said I should come and attack you. And this the guy kept on preaching to them. Let me tell you, like I always say, if not so, the devil get power. Enough for the talk. I don't know get my point. All that talk is a sign, say, nothing there. Just trying to scare you. Just trying. This guy stood there and was talking. He talked and talked and talked. I'm going somewhere. Those ones, in fact, they understood. So they begged him and said, please, don't speak to us in the language that everybody understands. Talk to us in Latin. I'm adding, he didn't say Latin now, all right? Just talk to us in another language so that only we, the officials, will know. So don't scare all the soldiers. The man said, hey, this is my master sending me to only you. He's not sending me to all of these people that are going to eat their own dungs. That's what he told them. All of you here, because they understood that if they keep hearing, they will be demoralized. And listen, that's a matter of fact. Part of the mechanisms of war, they always have a minister of propaganda. No, that's part of war. They always have an officer in charge of propaganda. His duty is to announce victories and downplay losses. Because the more you hear the news of victories, the more your morale is boosted. Even though you are losing, you will fight till the death. But even though you were winning, if you kept on hearing the news of defeat, morale will be low. And in case you do not believe that those things matter, just watch football. That's why they have to play two legs. One home, one away. Because if you play at home, morale is really strong. People just shouting, hey, 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 ooh. Have you ever witnessed that? Those things used to work. It used to work. If I one of my guys those days, he said there was a way they used to score in Lagos those days. In that Teslim Balogun Stadium, these Lagos boys. That if the game is not going in the way of their team, after a while they will arrange a goal. You know how they do it? They just shout, go! Then their own players understand. But the opponents will like, which goal? Ah, not with this ball. As they are looking, where which goal? They don't collect the ball. When I heard that, I said, man, that's a new one. And they just shout, goal out of nowhere. You'll be confused. Ah, this is the ball. Is there another ball on the pitch? Now, what I'm going to say, that's your home advantage. That's how it is. So when he heard news, so that's what Sennacherib was trying to do. Was trying to scare the people. Now, this is where I'm going. The shield of faith. Sometimes it gets to you. Let's not pretend. Because sometimes we preach half of the gospel. And make it appear as if it doesn't get to us. It does. There was one man on the flight ahead. I don't know how true it is. He was there with his wife and all his children, his mother and a relation. A whole family wiped out. First thing I told my wife is that, I ain't carrying my whole family on one flight. Is that the news? You understand my point? Like, what? You carry your whole family on one flight? What were you thinking? Is it the wings of angels you are flying? You know that kind of thing. It gets to us. That's what I'm saying. Let's not pretend. For some people, it doesn't. Because you've done this thing I'm about to discuss. Or you do it constantly. When it got to Hezekiah, that's what I'm talking about. It got to him. The man took the letters and went to God and prayed. And God sent a word through Isaiah. He said, go and tell him. That man will not shoot one arrow towards this city. The cure for fear is a word from above. You are getting the point I'm making? It's not a bojo. Listen, I won't be afraid. Listen, you will drown, you will fall from an okada and die. Chinese people will die from air crash. He said, no go fear. Wait, no. I like one of my teachers said those days in school, said, you're not afraid, don't worry. A witch will soon teach you a lesson. All those scientists, they come house now. All those scientists say, we believe in science. Go to the village first. And they fry your nose, then you will understand that witchcraft is serious. Those of us that speak boldly, is because we have the word from above. Not saying there are no witches. We know there are there. We say, greater is he that is in us than he that is in them. That's all we are saying. It's not as if we say, there are no witches. I told you I read a book by a real witch. She said she used her eyes to throw another smaller witch that tried her into a wall. Like, just look the girl like this. The girl got up, pam, into the wall. They had to use chisel to bring her out. But I would have wished for her to try to throw me into a wall. You know, when you swing something, if it didn't not move, now you go swing. She will have found herself inside a wall, and they will have had to use jackhammer to pull her out. That's what we are saying. What am I saying? When Hezekiah heard, though, it got to him, he went to the temple, laid down the letters, and a word came from God through Isaiah. Let me just leave it there. What you need to fight fear is the word of God. Listen, it's not just prayer for the sake of praying. It's prayer with a Bible in hand waiting to get an understanding. Are you getting my point? That's it. That's it. It says you take the shield of faith. Faith is relying on that word you have heard. He said it will quench all the fire-tipped arrows. That is, as soon as you hear it, a plane fell down, everybody died inside. He said, oh, poor people, I wish I had flown with them that day. There are two ways to respond. Some people are like, ah, thank God, though. Hey, ah, thank God, though. No, it's more like, oh, I wish I had flown with them that day. That plane could not have crashed under my watch. And somewhere else, that was like, ah, you know, I was almost on that flight. Hey, thank God, rejoice with me, brethren. I just missed the flight narrowly. In fact, I got there 5 minutes later. Sing with me, Obani Jesus, Obani, Obani. Fear. Fear tipped testimony. I like what the woman of God said. He said, those days, they will try to kill Jesus. And the Bible says he went and he hid himself. Some people first interpreted that, ah, his wisdom, hide. No, somebody said that was not what happened. It was pity. He understood that those legions of angels that he said he could have called, if he stayed there, they would have had to wipe those people out to keep him alive. And he said it himself, he said, go and check, where was a prophet ever killed outside Jerusalem? He told the disciples. So all this gra-gra. I'm not moving because I'm afraid of them, but let me stay there. No, read the scriptures now. You will see ordinary men of David. David and one of them stood and defended a piece of property because they planted beans on it. What happened to all the Philistines? They died. As they were coming one by one, David and his man kept on fighting. They kept on fighting morning till evening. I've forgotten the exact number of Philistines, maybe over 300, that only two of them wiped out. You know the point? If David didn't want them to die, he would just leave that land for them. You get what I'm saying? That is, oh boy, come, why kill them? Let's go. But as long as he stood on that land, those guys had to die. God had to give them in ransom for his life. How much more the Lord Jesus Christ? So there's nothing like, hey, I was supposed to be there. Hey. No, even, oh, if I was on that flight, they would have been saved. After all, the whole of Sodom and Gomorrah would have been delivered if 10 people were there. And to kill them, God had to withdraw the few. What did the angel say to Lot? Rush, I can't do anything until you're out of here. That's what he said to Lot. Move now. I'm not allowed. The commandment had gone now that I can't do anything until you're out. And then he said, but I have an assignment to fulfill. So he took Lot by the hand and dragged him out by force. That is one way to look at it. Having heard the word from above. Are you getting my point? He said, don't let your heart be troubled. It's a commandment. Listen, it is a commandment. God doesn't want people to be afraid. That's why even when people are afraid because they saw his glory, and first he tells us what? Don't be afraid. Because if you persist in the fear, my understanding is that you will have had to stop that visitation. Yes. You will have had to stop it, the visitation. If you just say, hey, say, fear not. I'm not afraid. No, I'm not afraid. The angel will just say, okay, later. No, really. Just say later. So you have to speak fear not into people. Once they are afraid, he can't communicate with them. So, first assignment is, fear not. And the person will say, amen. Good. Then fear disappears. Calm comes, and then they begin to talk. I remember one man, he said he had a visitation once. He just looked out of his, I think, no, it was he and his wife, a preacher, Nigerian preacher, but they were pastors in the U.S. He said the Lord appeared to him once. The first person he appeared to was his wife. The wife was scared. That was the end of the visitation, but he was not afraid. So, he got all the messages. Kenneth Hagin will say, God, I read one of Kenneth Hagin's book. He said, that the Lord told him once that an angel came to visit him with a message, but he did not receive the message. So the angel left with it. And for a long time, God, he would tell the story. And he wouldn't explain, well, at least, and I didn't decipher why the angel left. Why did the Lord say that you did not receive it? Because the man kept, he didn't do anything. He didn't see the angel, he just knew that somebody entered. So it was like, who's there? Who's there? Who's there? I'm thinking about it and I realize that maybe the amount of fear inside him, the angel just said, we can't talk. And he left. Beyond today's message, go and get the one we preach 2010, Prayer Against Fear. Let it be part of your life. Because fear prevents you from getting God's word, the understanding of God. It prevents you from fulfilling the will of God for your life. And when fear, when things, listen, not fear itself, when the things that cause fear get to you, what do? You get down on your knees like Hezekiah. If you need to hear a new thing, otherwise, use that one that you know already, that is written. But the only thing that kills fear is a word from above. That's the only thing. So at times like this, what do? We'll go back to the same word and declare it again and believe it. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Quickly, let me just read a few things just to encourage our hearts, especially because of what's been happening. And then we'll just read three portions of the Bible, Psalm 91, portions of it, Psalm 23, and Isaiah 54. We'll declare them loudly, and then we'll be out of here. And don't ever forget, we are not here to pray, we are here to learn to pray. Amen? That is, whatever we start here, you are supposed to continue it in every day of your life, when you're alone, when you wake up at night, when you go to work, when you are driving, when you are sitting in a vehicle, whatever it is. First, let me just say something briefly, so that we understand. Death is not an accident. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
You know, something struck me. I was trying to get out the verse of scripture where the Bible talks about the death of Ahab. When he said, who will entice him to go to Ramoth Gilead, that he might die there. I noticed that one spirit said, I will. And God said to that spirit, what will you do? He said, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. I noticed something. God didn't say good. God said, go. You will be a lying spirit and they will be deceived. Without those words, that spirit's intentions would never have been carried out. No, open to it. Let's quickly read it. You see what I'm saying? It didn't struck me. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Now, notice something there. Verse 21. That spirit said, I will go and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Then he, that is the Lord, said, you are to entice him and prevail also. Go and do so. Did you notice that? The Lord said, who will go and entice him? The spirit came forward and said, I will. What are you going to do? He said, I will go and be a deceiving spirit. Then the Lord said to that spirit, you are to entice him and prevail also. Go and do so. Listen, God doesn't give advice. Are you getting my point? He does not give suggestions. Peradventure, you know, okay, try. That one should work. If it doesn't work, come back. He said, you will entice him and you will prevail. Now go. That spirit couldn't move until those ones, every other thing I wish. What am I saying? God rules in the affairs of men. No matter how terrible things may seem, don't let anybody deceive you that the devil is in charge. He's not too. Listen, death is not an accident. There is nobody that dies that the spirit of death does not first get a commandment concerning that person. There's none. It sounds terrible that 6 million Jews perished under Adolf Hitler. But those were 6 million deaths God had to approve first. God's approval and God's pleasure are two different things. What I mean is that what he enjoys and what he approves are two different things. He said he does not want, that is his pleasure, any man to perish. But he also cast them into the lake of fire. I mean, are you seeing what I'm saying? Even the dead that was dying everybody, you understand my point? He cast into the lake of fire with those that he died. You know what I'm saying? I just invented some English there. You get my point? So, the fact that I'm saying that God had to sanction, people sometimes say that, yeah, he's saying God. No, listen. He does not love it. He does not want anybody to perish. He wants everybody to come to repentance. That's what he loves. But when, you see, there's a difference between what he desires and what justice determines. And being a just God, there are things he has to sanction. Sometimes pastors die, you know, preachers, we feel very bad. I don't know why, most of the time. Ken Hagin has taught us a lot of things, so we can't help but think towards some of those things when things happen. But the summary of it is that I don't know why most of the time. But that doesn't give the devil any bragging right. The only thing the devil has is the power to tempt. We talked about the devices of the devil some weeks ago here. He has the power to tempt. He tries to deceive. He accuses. Are you getting my point? Like, let me add this on to it. He tries to instigate fear, which is still part of what? Temptation. That's what he does. He doesn't have the power. I'm trying to explain, your life is in God's hands. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. You are not an accident. And your life is not an accident. And accidents are not the things that happen to you. You understand that point. It's important because if we don't realize it, we'll think that now mistake, person just they take die. Christians know they die by mistake. Oh. You follow my point? If you have to fly, please fly. You know, I'm an aircraft. Don't say now, you know, of course. But if they go to Lagos, yes, how did they go? Eh? How did they go before? Listen, all you need to do is drive between here and Lagos and check the number of people that have died in the last 1 year on that road. It's more than those that died in that plane crash. Are you getting my point? So when you make those decisions, it's not based on statistics or facts. It's based on the spirit of fear that just entered. So what should you do? It's simple. If he reaches you, you pray, you declare. That's why we are talking like this. So that when you get home, say, my life is not an accident, even though I was to take a flight because of me. You know, you say those things, and it will keep your plane flying. You get my point? You get my point? And this is true, and this is reality. Angels can carry planes, though. Before I finish, they will just put one hand under it, drop the thing on the runway, and then slap the pilot. Don't do anything. But at least everybody is safe. At least everybody is safe. You are getting what I'm saying? No, let's get that one clear. Alright? I mean, you know, just that people don't often tell the full stories. Partly because they don't know it. Other times because they are too embarrassed. You know, remember the story I told you ahead that somebody said that when they saw one of those bombs that went off one of those churches, when they saw the amount of damage it did not do for the size of the bomb, people were concerned. What happened? Then some children said, you didn't see him. See who? Said there was a man who just stood between the bomb and the church. With the man, they not see him again. But he just cushioned the blast. He said, thus far and no further. The devil is not in charge, you. Are you getting my point? He said, I am the one. Let's read that one quickly. Maybe it will help us. Isaiah 54. He said, even the gun with the make. Isaiah 54, verse 16. He said, behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work. I have created the destroyer to ruin. What was he saying? That the man that makes a gun, I created him, I gave him the wisdom. He can't make a gun that I don't approve of. So now I'm speaking to you, my own, that no weapon formed against you shall succeed. Did I hear an amen? No weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. Amen. That's what God is saying. I hope you are hearing me. Listen, what do bombs do? They generate a lot of heat and the blast. All the intensity of the explosion is not close to a fraction. All these bombs you've heard of, not close to a fraction of the amount of fire that Nebuchadnezzar heated up to burn Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yet, when they threw them in the fire was working. The only thing he could burn was rope. Did you hear an amen? What did he burn? Not their cloth. God said, thus far and no further. Burn the rope. So he burned the rope. They were tied. So the rope, they became loose. Don't touch their cloth. You are following what I'm saying? The power of God is still alive. Even if they were to put a bomb under your head, that's on your head, and one under your feet, and the two of them plan to bomb and crush you, one will blow up a cloud, the other one will blow up the rock below your feet. And you will just say, that's an earth tremor. What was that? See my trousers where I just dry clean. Who can't do that kind of thing? And those who planted it will be looking at you like, what just happened? Listen, God has different ways of delivering his people. John Alexander that way. You know what happened to him? He had preached so hard. So the mafia people in Chicago said, one of those two places was in Sydney, they now moved to Chicago. They said, let us blow him to pieces. Normally after church, he would stay in his office. He and his secretary, they would be working. So they went and planted a bomb to destroy him properly in that office. That night, after working for a while, I told the secretary, this work, not the flow. Let's go. Shortly after that, he had an explosion. Boom. He came back. Office was in pieces. That is, an angel just said, move. I told you one day in my house, a ceiling fan fell. It fell on right on top of where my head was. Except that before then, I just got up. Listen, I was asleep. In my sleep, suddenly my stomach turned, twisted. I had a very sharp pain. So that woke me up. So I got up. I said, what's that? I said, okay, let me go and use the bathroom. So I went to the toilet. Let's make a long story short. By the time I came back, something was out of that. Then somebody was sleeping on my pillow. It was a fan. No. I have the pictures. I went and got my camera because it was unbelievable. I photographed everything. It's a long story of how the thing gently sawed, you know, just shaking slightly over a year and a half. It cut through the metal bar holding this thing. And it was about to drop. God is my witness. An angel just came. You know, he said he smote Peter on his side. You see, one of the things I was thinking about this afternoon, they said there's no God because they saw the hand of God. Let me explain what I'm saying. When God wants to do something as an example, maybe he sends an angel. The Bible says he makes his angels spirits. That word spirit is the same thing as wind. Alright? So he sends an angel as an example, and breeze blows, and a battalion of angels will hold water back. The only thing the children of Israel will see is breeze blowing. He makes his angels wind. You are getting my point? So when we see the hand of God, a lot of scientists use that as proof that there is no God. That is because they saw the manifestation. They said, we saw it is not God. No, that is called the hand of God. I was not sick. Nothing was wrong with me. Yet, boom, suddenly my stomach. I just woke up. So I got up. God in heaven was very good. My son was lying beside me. But when I came out, I just went to the city, then just catch some news. Then he came out. I got up because of him and I went back to the room. Only to see the fan. This is a few minutes. Just before the fan fell, the angel said, get up. He's not dead, though. The Lord is not dead, though. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. You know, one of those days, you know, one of the ways I knew I would live long? Long ago, one day I wanted to cross the road, I did not look. A fast-speeding bus went like this. Boom! As it went, you know, I was running so fast, I couldn't even stop, even though I saw the guy was about to hit me. I had to continue. I don't know if I get the point. The momentum kept carrying me. Yet, this guy just went, fume like this. I continued crossing. You know. I was running. I couldn't stop. That was around 1980. I was around 84. And I remember, my mother was downstairs. Then our friends, you know, children around, you know, they were upstairs. They saw me. The fence of the compound didn't let my mother see. Because I entered, they said, what was watching you? I said, shh. Want her to hear? Like, can all of you be quiet? Man, I was trembling. I knew, look, it was not up to, that is, what saved me time-wise, which is the hand of God, time-wise, was not, God is my witness, was not up to 1/5 of a second. The bus just went, fang! I was coming from my school's inter-house spot. So the guy was rushing so he can go and drop these people and go and collect more passengers. You know the way they do. And me, out of excitement, I just dashed across the road. God is good, though. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also his word. Amen? And that's the word I'm giving you today. Death is not an accident. When Saul was going to die, the Bible says, and so Saul died. for the sin, for the trespass which he committed against the Lord. When he came to Ahab, we've discussed it before, Ahab died by, in quote, accident. But we know God strategized and orchestrated and planned the death. Who will entice Ahab to go to Ramoth Gilead that he might die there? And the spirit said, I will. What will you do? I will be a lion spirit. He said, okay, go. Succeed in doing that. God gave him a commandment. And Ahab went. And one of the Syrian soldiers just took it. Get my point. He just fired at random. He never knew he killed Ahab. Ahab was wearing an armor. The armor covered the arm and covered the trunk. There had to be a junction between the one on the arm and the one, you understand, on the trunk. That was the junction that the arrow hit. It was not an accident. Listen again. You are not alive because of the mistakes of the devil. You know what I'm saying? Some people think that when the devil plan for them, they will all die. They think they are alive because of the mercy of the devil. So they are afraid to annoy him. I'm telling you again, your being alive is not because the devil forgot about you. The only reason why you are alive is because God is preserving you. Let him vex from now to tomorrow. That is the devil. He can't kill you. You know when this man died, when he collapsed, Patrice Muamba. Is that not his name? Or Fabrice? Fabrice Muamba, huh? Fabrice Muamba, you know? The guy testified afterwards. You know, my friend was around, Dr. Ibuku was around last year. So we discussed, he lives in England there. So we're talking. I said, okay, so what was wrong with the guy? Cardiomyopathy? He said, no. What's wrong with him? Wolf Parkinson, white? No, I picked up one of these terrible names. He said, no. That till now, nothing wrong with the guy's heart. They didn't find anything that was wrong with him. They don't test the guy, die. You get my point? Nothing. The guy's heart just stopped. It woke up after 80 minutes. And he said something, the laws of resuscitation. You don't take a person you are resuscitating to hospital. Yes, you don't. You finish resuscitation first. When he has, woken small, you're not, because the process of carrying him and transporting him is going to make you lose precious seconds. He said, yet they transported Fabrice to the hospital. He said, what does that tell you? They had given up. 80 minutes, Bobo's heart did not start. After 80 minutes, it finally started. All the while, they were using machines to keep him alive and all of that. And he woke up and he's perfect, no brain damage, nothing. So he talked about how he and his family prayed and all of that. I don't know whether you heard his testimony and in all of that. So, of course, the natural thing. Okay, I watched the interview on CNN. One doctor, they asked him, say, do you think that prayer had a lot to do? He said, well, it's likely. There's no, we don't know, but it'd be like, then try. You know that kind of thing. So my friend asked something very interesting. Of course, most people who don't believe in God, they say, no, that the doctors, they tried. God said, nine next week, two angels arranged, kill two footballers. The same... I'm not saying that you guys were being wicked up there, but... I saw that one. I saw the clip. Another footballer, he was also playing. He went down. He got up. I remember seeing it. He got up again. He went down. He got up a third time. Then he went down. Then he was out. They did everything they did for Patrice Muamba. He died. My friend said the following week, another guy collapsed. Now, we didn't hear about that because that guy was a smaller player. Two players died from the same thing in quick succession. If I told my friend, na virus. That is, I don't know why, I just have a feeling. All those who do, it's not God. Because, it's not me. And I said, may I show you now small? I'm saying, what kept Patrice, Fabrice, am I calling him Patrice? I don't know. Then Fabrice or Patrice, whatever it is, the guy did not die, amen? What kept him alive is the power of God. That same power is keeping you alive, amen? Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil because the Lord is with you. Listen, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and they will deliver you from all troubles in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We refuse fear. That's what we are saying. I've also established that, listen, this is no accident. God is alive and is well. Even to tell lies, the spirit had to take command. How much more to kill? Listen, if you turn to God and say, Lord, I don't want to die. I will live long. He said, let my people go that they might serve me. The problem we've had is that we think serving God is church alone. So when people want to say, God, keep me alive, I will serve you. They say, okay, that's what Oral Roberts did. He began to preach. That's what Lester Sumner did. He began to preach. So they want to now preach also. They now die faster. Just simply say, God, I will live and I will serve you and I will show your glory in my life. Then he will lead you in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. What am I saying? If you plead with God for your life, he will give it to you. Kenneth Hagin said, I read his story. I've never forgotten it. And listen, you husband, pray for your wives. The pastor can't pray for your wife. Oh. Their father, that is the girls who are their fathers, they're just small. The effect of their prayer and are thinking like this. Thinkele. You want to know who can pray? All those of you, your husband, they talk, you're saying, I believe in your waka come out. Your blessing just waka. That is, I'm not kidding. Go and read my book. Let's say yes, I put it on there. You should be careful how you talk to your husband. I don't walk out when the guy is talking. You want me to prove it to you? David. He was dancing and going naked. Everybody said, Oga King, he loved God so much. They covered their eyes small. Now Micah come back. Say, now wow. This breakdance today, now wow. Eh? Now Willow be that I'm waiting. You dance Makosa so bad, oh boy. Now you begin expose me like this. Talking to a king and a husband. The man looked and said, look, he was angry. It's because of the God who removed your father. You know the way it is, your father. From being king, and used me to replace him. Now, because of him, they dance. That's the way I'm going. Where I'm going, as the Bible says, and Michal did not have a child all the days of her life. He tied it to that behavior. Directly, the Bible tied it. So a woman says, because they're vexed, if you talk to the husband anyhow, vex has just collected blessing from you. Go and read the scriptures well. What be her name? Rebecca. Rebecca, fine girl, nice girl, married. Laban prayed for her. The whole family prayed. They pray. You will go, you will do. 20 years, she did not conceive. Then one day the Bible says, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake. Your pastor bless you as a woman. The effect, eh? Like this. Let her go home this night. Kneel down and say, okay, I confess, I beg. Oh, yeah. Before things were war. The Lord is good. What am I talking about? Just talking about God giving people their lives. Can I get in that book? He told the story. Go and read the book, I Believe in Visions. He said, since he married his wife, he had this feeling that this woman won't live long. She's going to die early. That the thing actually used to inhibit him from operating in the spirit, because he's a prophet. Sometimes he's ministering, the spirit of the prophet wants to come upon him. But he knows that as soon as he enters into the realm of the spirit, one of the first things he will realize, contacting that realm, is his wife is dying. So he will pull back so he can just feel safe. And his wife now developed the goiter. What doctors call retrosternal goiter. It was choking her. Pressing on the sternum and the trachea. Choking the woman. And the woman had the feeling. I told you about echoes of accusation. Had the feeling that if I go for surgery, I won't come back. Meanwhile, she and her husband had prayed. The thing didn't go down. The husband said, what can you believe for? He said, I can believe that I will go for surgery. There will be another. But go for surgery now, she did fear. He said, so at the time, the Lord appeared to him in a vision. And just said, tell your wife to be operated, she will not die. He said, he said you just finished praying. You just sat down somewhere. Right in front of him, the Lord just appeared. He said, tell your wife to be operated, she will not die. Why? Before that, he said, he had started praying. And he would be arguing the case. They were young. He was 30-something, his early 30s. All right? And the wife was about 2 years younger than him. He said he would be praying and explaining to the Lord that, listen, he was married when he was 21. So you can imagine he had married for more than 10 years. And he was just talking to the Lord. He said, listen, I love this woman. I don't want her to die. I have a feeling she's going to die early. And I don't want her to die. Look, I've spent a lot of time training my wife, you know, in everything. I don't want to start again. And I love her, for goodness sake. Her children, he just kept on arguing, pleading and asking God. Then one day the Lord appeared to him and said, the only reason, truth, that you guys were right in that she was going to die. Why didn't she die? Simply, you asked me. He said, that's all. You asked. He said, the Lord now said something to him that broke his heart totally. He said, how many things are there that I want to do for my children, but they don't ask? All they do is complain in what they call prayer. They don't ask in faith. One day, one of my friends said, Rashid is in Canada. He said, I got a hold of our series, Anatomy of Prayer. And I told her something about heartfelt prayer. His mother, he said, look, if you think American visa is difficult, try Canadian visa. I want hard like rock. He said his mother had tried to come and visit. She had not seen any of her grandchildren and everything, you know, his own children. And they had tried and tried. It didn't work. Said that day after I listened to that message, he said he sat down on the floor, I think on the stairs in his house, and simply said, God, give my mother this visa. Next time she went, she got it. Listen, sometimes, I told you before, sometimes a lot of our is fear and unbelief. You are trying to persuade yourself, say you believe. In the name of Jesus Christ, I call it. I call it to be. You sure? Exercise in unbelief, it is in our faith. Sometimes I want to take glory. I want to be able to say, you know, I said it and I just, I'll go do it. Faith and Oboju are two different things. Every Agbero has Oboju, but they don't have faith too. You don't go park before the Bobo, they fight over your money. Agbero, they get Oboju, but they don't get faith. What is Oboju? I no go agree. You understand what I'm saying? Faith is not all that exercise. It's a conviction that the power belongs to God. That's what it is. So the Lord said to him, the only reason why I did that is simply because you asked. That's why I encourage husbands. Pray for your wives. Look at you, foolish woman. How you behave like you don't get sense? Be it unto you according to your faith. A woman shall she be called. That was what Adam said. And the Bible says, whatever he called any of the living creatures, that was his name. Are you getting my point? So, whatever you want your wife to be, call her. Anyway, go and read the book. So we pay for this. I discussed that in there. And you're talking about prayer now. I'm trying to emphasize the fact that life, your life, is in God's hands. And if you want it, ask him for it. The only thing I'm just saying is, he said, you ask, be careful you don't ask amiss. Our lives are meant to serve the purposes of God. So in praying, we say, Lord, you will preserve my life so that I may fulfill your plan for my life. The devil can't kill you. Listen, let Osama bin Laden wake up, hijack 7 planes, let them crash on top of a house that only you is inside. You will not die.
Amen.
I said you will not die.
Amen.
You will not die.
Amen.
I will rest your feet, our time is gone. Oh, yeah, begin to declare, say, I will not die. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, I will not die. Listen, the Bible says, because he has loved me, it said, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. Therefore, listen to this, no evil shall befall thee. So let's do like this. Say, I have made the Lord
my refuge.
I have made the Most High my habitation. Say it again. Say, thou, O Lord,
are my refuge
and my habitation. Say, you, O my God,
you,
the Most High God,
you,
my Father,
you
are my refuge
and my habitation.
Therefore, no evil shall befall me,
neither shall any plague come near my dwelling.
He said, the Lord will give his angels charge over me
to keep me in all my ways.
They shall bear me up in their hands
so that my feet will not be injured.
Say, I will tread upon the lion
and the adder.
That's a poisonous snake. Say, the young lion
and the dragon
shall I trample under my feet.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say, because I have made the Lord my habitation.
Because I have made the Lord my refuge.
Just say, Father, I thank. Give him thanks for that. Just give him thanks. 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 Everybody, repeat this after me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Notice the one doing it too. The devil has no part in this. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Please notice, I want us to notice that word. He is the one. It's not chance. It's not the devil. Are you getting my point? It's not because the devil forgot, that's why I'm blessed. No, it's because the Lord is actively blessing me. He said, from there, God commanded the blessings. It is God who commands blessings. Say it, he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now say this like you believe it. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He has anointed my head with oil. Therefore, my cup overflows. Say, surely, goodness, mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will do the will of God forever. In the name of Jesus Christ. Just say, Father, we thank. Just give him thanks. Give him thanks. The Lord will be within your going out and your coming in the name of Jesus Christ. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep your going out. He will keep your going in, your going out, your coming in. He will perfect everything that concerns you. Listen, the next flight you take, because of you, the lives of everybody there, they are preserved. Amen. There was a flight that was going to crash. And indeed it crashed, but Paul was in it. And he said to them, don't worry people. The angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood before me and said that none of you will die. And none of them died. For your sake, lives will be preserved.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid though. You enter the bus, tell the driver, not worry. You are okay. He said, well, how you take? No. He said, I'm in the bus. Tell, who are you? He said, I'm the son of the Most High God. The Heavenly Father, creator of the heavens and the earth, is on my side. I have asked him to keep you. So start going. Tell the driver, don't worry. When the guy says, he'll give his life to Christ. After most of these are preaching, no, they walk. You know why? We too, they fear. You see, you may just die like that. Give your life to Christ now, in case you die. Who won't die? Are you getting my point? Listen, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
Listen, the Bible says we quench all this thing with the shield of faith. What is faith? Everything you have heard today, believe it and recite it. And it shall be well with you.
Amen.